All stations, all stations. Good afternoon. This is Taz Coast Radio. Taz Coast Radio, Victor India Tango 319, broadcasting from the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania. Operator this afternoon is Alistair. We're broadcasting on 4483 kilohertz. I'll start with the weather information issued by the Bureau of Meteorology, then I'll take any calls. The stations were started really by a life member of the club, Jeff Boys. Started broadcasting on the 4th of April 1983, so 30 years ago. And Jeff, he was a lovely old fellow, unfortunately died a couple of years or so ago, and set it up from his home based at Midway Point. But it was a registered station owned by the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania. Being the one person there on the microphone, he built up a huge rapport with sailors, not just locally, but going offshore to long destinations, Vanuatu, Fiji, Numia, those sorts of places. And everybody knew Jeff. But as he aged, his voice failed him a bit, and he'd ring me up and say, "Look, Alistair, would you mind doing the sked for me tonight?" We never took it over from Jeff. He just slowly stepped back. The station provided a very good service in those early days because there were not many other services available for mariners. We didn't have mobile phones, for example. So people would call the station and say, "Look, I'm going to be late home tonight. Do you mind making a phone call home and telling them so they're not worrying?" So we'd do all those sorts of things. Then the seaphone service came in where, using VHF short-range radios, you could dial in and actually talk on the network. So that was a new service. And then, of course, mobile phones took over. The seaphone disappeared. And now with the better mobile phones and the coverage that we've got, gives people almost no mobile phone coverage continuous from here to Sydney, for example, or even further. So that took away, unfortunately, a lot of the requirement for limited coast stations such as Taz Coast Radio. But radio, you can't replace radio in terms of when there is an emergency. And people said to me, "Oh, look, radio is not so important now. I've got a satellite phone. I can call home or anybody wherever I am." But that's all very nice. If you happen to have a real emergency problem and you ring home, "Oh, sorry, they're not answering," or it doesn't work. Radio, it can't be beaten because you're broadcasting to everybody, and so somebody just not that far away, just over the horizon, maybe only a few hours away, could hear your broadcast and come to your assistance. Sydney Hobart time, we run two operators here continuously for the duration of the race. I have a team of about 19 people help me over that period. So it's a bit of organisation, but they're all keen and qualified and competent people and enjoy doing that.
So what does a day involve if you're working on the Sydney to Hobart race?
Oh, well, Sydney Hobart is quite interesting. There are a couple of managed or organised skeds, so you call every boat in alphabetical order and get their latitude and longitude. There might be other issues that they need to report if there's a problem with the boat, for example, or if there's compulsory reporting now if the winds exceed a certain figure, and I forget what it is, 37 or 40 knots. There's a few changes that have affected communications or the management of the race, if you like, since the 1998 Sydney Hobart race, which I had the dubious pleasure of sailing in. So that's important. But then if a boat has trouble, we will arrange a regular communication. And a good example was I happened to be here when Scandia had trouble with its keel. And they put out a pan-pan message, which is an urgency message. And I took that here. And so I said to Scandia, that was about 10 past one in the morning, and I just happened to be on watch. So that was good in that sense. So I said, because of the difficulties they were having, I'm going to call you every half hour from now on, which I did. And their radio operator was excellent on the boat. And he and I would talk every half hour, and he'd give me a quick update of the situation with the boat, with the keel, what they were doing. And I'd give him an update from information provided to me by people in race control next door about where the police boat Van Diemen was chasing them to try and eventually effect a rescue of the crew off the boat.
Because can you get a yachtsman coming back and going, "Oh, well, the radio person told me that I should do this"? Is there some form of liability?
Well, I've always been nervous about that, to avoid that situation. And so, it's fair enough to give all sorts of factual information, but don't make suppositions about things and assumptions, because that can lead you into trouble or somebody else into trouble. In the racing rules too, there's a fundamental rule which says, and it always amuses me, it's the yacht's decision as to whether to start or continue in the race. That's the intention, though, is that the people on board the boat, they know their situation. Mm. It's them to decide.
So you're effectively the messenger. You're reassuring them while also getting information too. You'd have to have quite a calm voice, I would imagine.
I think that's a very important part of it. We are the messenger. We're not making decisions for boats, but providing them at times with information on which they can make decisions. You know, we can't determine what the conditions are like on a boat sitting in the comfort of a warm room here, but a calm and reassuring voice. So a sailor can say, well, thank goodness somebody at home is looking after our problem, doing something, and they're going to get back to me shortly with an answer or whatever, is an important part of it. But for general routine type stuff, it's the friendly voice from home. And they like that. We weren't providing really any safety information for them because they had all that through their internet connections, through their sat phones and so forth. But it was a voice from home. Mm. The necessity to maintain a twice daily schedule of broadcasts through here is really diminished. Mm. We're talking to ourselves, unfortunately.
And what's some of the feedback that you've got from the yachts out there when you tell them that you're no longer doing the service?
Oddly enough, every broadcast we've announced that we're closing this twice daily service as of last transmission, 30th of November. We haven't had any feedback.
Hmm. What was it like back in 1983? How many calls were you getting a day?
Well, I don't know really the number of calls, and it was Jeff Boys in those days, but he would have his radios on at his home all the time, and he just loved his radio and ham radio as well. So he would get calls during times other than the skeds as well. They'd call up in the hope that he was there. And so he had this great following, really, because of that.
I was reading a report the other day, and they were saying that this year there's not as many Tassie entrants into the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. What do you think that means for Tassie yachtsmen?
Well, I think it's a bit of a shame. We've only got four yachts in this year's Sydney Hobart race of about a total of about 100 yachts. Going back a few years, we used to have around about 10% of the fleet coming out of Tasmania, you know, not just Hobart, but out of the northern ports as well. I guess, you know, economic times are more difficult. It's the requirements to enter significant offshore events like the Sydney Hobart more difficult in terms of not just equipment you've got to carry on your boat, but also there's crew training involved. 50% of the crew have to do a survival and sea safety course, for example. It's not a difficult course, but you've still got to find the time to do it. So there's quite a lot of theory attached to that, as well as some practical exercises of life raft drills and setting off flares. So you know, fumbling in the dark what you've got to do.
What are you going to miss the most about these 20-minute broadcasts?
Every operator likes to get a call from a boat, and it's up to the boat to call the station it chooses to call. So unfortunately, time and again in recent months, there have been no calls. But when you do get a call and it's from somebody on passage somewhere rather than just down the river having a picnic, it's really nice. Yeah, there are many, many aspects of it, and many that I will miss from our regular broadcast, but then we've been missing them now for a while, and we're too many times we've had no calls. And it's a bit of a shame that time is moving. Tas Coast Radio, Victor India Tango 319, and this is Tas Coast Radio out.